and we like to get everything fast. Proprietary schools and online colleges often advertise to appeal to a person's desire to get an education fast. All knowledge doesn't come fast. Gaining real knowledge is like the recipe of your grandmother's stew. You slowly add ingredients and give them a chance to simmer and blend to enhance their collective flavor. Settling for dumbed-down information is like feeding yourself from vending machines when you could be feasting on grandma's stew. True knowledge requires an in-depth absorption of information gained over time. With knowledge, it's hard for anyone to shake you. You can stand on your decisions and have less fear about moving forward toward the future. Seek knowledge for the sake of enlightenment and destiny. It takes courage to be knowledgeable in a world that dumbs down information. You run the risk of being told you've forgotten where you came from, but you can't forget where you came from because you lived there, and it is your base of knowledge for all that you learn. If you grew up in an abusive home, you know that it was not pleasant. As you gain knowledge about how people relate in healthy households, what you learn is reinforced by your experience growing up. Knowledge beyond your present parameters is the entree to your future. Start reading journals and blogs and books that you've never read before. Go places you've never gone so that when God opens the door, you're not trying to get ready, be ready. Maybe you don't like hockey, but it won't hurt to expose yourself to a game. Maybe you don't like ballet or hip-hop music, but exposure to it will help you broaden your base of knowledge. Feed your mind's cravings. Destiny requires mental preparation, so absorb information and knowledge like a pregnant woman eats. You know how pregnant women get a craving for strange stuff that doesn't make sense to anyone else? When you are pregnant with destiny, you start craving things that your best friend doesn't understand. But just because your bestie doesn't understand, it doesn't mean that you're not moving in the direction God would have you to go. Your craving for knowledge may even cause you to lose some friends. When you concentrate on destiny knowledge and become interested in new subjects and are not content to sit around talking about somebody else's clothes or relationship, some people are going to pull away from you. Relax. Your real friends will give you room to improve yourself because they're trying to improve themselves too. True friends are happy for you when you get more education. Start volunteering in an organization that can expose you to people who can help your career, or start dating a man who takes you to restaurants you've never been to before. Increased knowledge can grow you to the point where you tire of people who think in a box. You'll look at your best friend since kindergarten and wonder what happened to him. Nothing happened to him. Something happened to you. He is still Pookie, who works long enough to earn a pack of cigarettes, a half a tank of gas, and some hamburger money. Pookie calls you a slave because you're dedicated to your job at a moving company. Man, all you talk about is that break-your-back job. Pookie doesn't understand that you're gaining knowledge, learning all you can about the moving business, because you realize you won't be young forever, and by the time you get too old to move furniture, you want to own your own moving company. What happened? Pookie is where he's always been. You have been growing. The more you learn and are exposed to new things, the harder it is to stay in the same circles. As you expand in knowledge, you will look back and wonder how you were ever satisfied with the football game, the fellas, a pack of cigarettes, and a six-pack of beer to wash down your hot dogs. Knowledge pulls you away from that into a larger arena. Sure, you'll still enjoy a football party with the boys, but it's no longer what you live for. You know there's more. Accept the fact that your craving for knowledge will be threatening to some. They won't understand why you spend time and money to go back to school, or why you'll take a lesser-paying apprenticeship position, or why you're reading everything you can about spirituality and faith. The people who are threatened may take comfort in their ignorance, but they're like a person diagnosed with type 2 diabetes who receives a great deal of information about living with the disease, information about nutrition, exercise, stress, and how all of these factors can have an impact on blood sugar levels, who says, "Oh, I don't care about what those doctors say. I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm going to die of something anyway." And many do die from diabetes-related complications because they refuse the knowledge that would enable them to live successfully with this chronic condition. They choose ignorance over life-enhancing knowledge. Destiny seekers choose knowledge. Your cravings for knowledge is getting you ready for God's destiny for you. Your mental preparation comes through knowledge. Inquiring minds want to know more. Are you willing to explore your mind? Are you courageous enough to venture out and learn what other people do not know? Are you willing to dust off the unused crevices in your brain to gain knowledge? Destiny's coursework can be a bit challenging. There's no syllabus and the teachers may look unqualified. Gain knowledge from unlikely sources. Someone you assume as insignificant may teach you destiny's greatest lesson. Learn something from the great aunt you think can't possibly know anything because she's old and unenlightened. Let the four-year-old who lives next door share a simple truth that enlightens you. The homeless man who perches himself on the bench outside your office every day can drop science on you if you're learning the ways of destiny. Knowledge comes from all types of people and sources. Open your mind to opportunities to gain knowledge and take the time to engage with those who don't look like you or think like you or act like you. They can prove to be your life's greatest teachers. Let your quest for knowledge take you places you've never gone. So when God opens the door to destiny that you've always wanted to enter, you'll be prepared. As I said earlier, distinguishing God's responsibility from our own is hard because that divine human partnership is tough to figure out. We all work at finding that balance of doing all we can and waiting for God to work out the rest. Seeking knowledge is what we do while we wait for God. Wait time is precious time. When we're preparing ourselves with knowledge while we wait, we're not bored or impatient or hopeless. We're learning. While you're waiting on the career change, get all the knowledge you can about the profession. While you're waiting on the spouse, get all the knowledge you can about being a better you. While you're waiting on the financial breakthrough, get all the knowledge you can about managing money and assets so that you'll be ready. Whatever you're waiting for, destiny to deliver, knowledge will take and keep you there. While you're waiting on those doors to open, be curious and use your time to get the knowledge you need to handle the new arena destiny is beckoning you to enter. Your mind must remain open to exposure, which comes in many forms beyond environment, your friends, and especially your comfort zone. Condition your mind to be curious about what life has to offer. Be curious about other cultures, their family dynamics, their language, their cuisine, and their faith. Allow your curious mind to wander into new places destiny opens for you. Exposure opens your mind to ideas that never could have blossomed in your head. Destiny's pursuit is going to put you in an unfamiliar space, and with each new experience, God is whetting your appetite for your next step toward destiny, exposing you to what you will need and enjoy in your future. Chapter 14. Distractions Destroy Destiny. Step away from what doesn't matter. Passion takes energy. Vision takes energy. Strategy takes energy. As destiny draws you, you will need to invest yourself there, which means you don't have time for energy-draining attitudes, feelings, and emotions. Being jealous, intimidated, or scared, you have been chosen to play the role that is your destiny. You have a calling. Are you jealous of someone who seems to have a greater talent than you? Simply do what you do. No person was meant to be someone else. Every person's destiny offers fulfillment in doing what God has destined that person to do. Be happy for that talented person and find your purpose, the calling of your unique gifts. If there's someone you envy, even if you could live their life, you wouldn't enjoy it. In fact, you'd probably be miserable because it's not your life. Frustration with destiny's process can also cause us to become envious of people who seem to have already arrived. Remember, they too endured a process. Every success has a backstory that you cannot see. I am not accountable for the gifts God gave someone else. God does not expect me to produce beyond the level of gifts given me. My only obligation is to use the gifts God has given me to the best of my ability. The gifts God gave you are not the same as the gifts the Creator has given anyone else. So why look at what God has done in someone else's life and then belittle what He has done in your own life? If you compare yourself with others, you'll never be at peace. Somebody's ice will always seem colder. Someone will have more degrees, a larger bank account, a grander house, a better physique, or a greater oratorical ability. Celebrate the skin you're in and be happy pursuing your own destiny. Know why you seek destiny. Destiny is bitter when pursued just to prove something to someone. The father who left home and never sent a dime to help your mother, or the girl who rejected you in high school because you were a nerd. So if you envision destiny as proof of something to someone, stop right here. Back up to chapter 6, for destiny's sakes, do you, and figure out who you want to be and why. You need a strong identity to pursue destiny. The secret is that it has to be bigger than you. For even if by a miracle your self-serving dream does come to fruition, it's not going to be what you hoped if it's only for you or your ego. A desire to serve humanity, help your family, or improve yourself is stronger than your ego. Your ego motivates you to succeed because of how your success will impress others. You can't skate your way to destiny, so you must know why you're willing to endure challenges. Making someone else envious is a poor incentive to stay faithful to destiny's demands. Destiny is bigger than you, and so must your dream be. In a 2006 speech then-Senator Barack Obama gave to a group of college students, he offered these sage words about success. Focusing your life solely on making a buck shows a certain poverty of ambition. It asks too little of yourself, because it's only when you hitch your wagon to something larger than yourself that you realize your true potential. Purpose is bigger than ego and can sustain you as you travel destiny's path. Identify your purpose and then let patience perfect you. Patience purges bad motives and clears jealous vision. It allows you to mature and increases clarity. Destiny starts in your head. Destiny is about more than simply reaching a destination. What you gain along your way to your destination is part of destiny. You can't get to destiny and bypass people, experiences, and lessons. Your mentors propel you to destiny, but so do the people who do everything they can to thwart you. Success will boost you closer to destiny, but so will your mistakes. The lessons you learn will drive you nearer to destiny, but so will the instructions you fail to heed. This complex mix is inextricably part of the destiny process. Surviving that process requires that you find joy in the details on your path to destiny. Menial jobs, demanding bosses, failed relationships, financial setbacks, keep them in perspective. Recognize that each brings you closer to destiny. Remember your strategy during these long, uneventful seasons because it gives you concrete reasons to keep pushing forward. Want your future badly enough to grab hold and not let go when the day-to-day has you feeling like a failure. You may not feel like a person of destiny when you wake up every day, but that's just your feelings. Your head will tell you to get up, be on time, and face the daily challenges because destiny awaits you. Your future is not rooted in how you feel, but in how you act. You cannot base your quest for destiny on feelings. The way you feel changes based on different variables, but your mind changes based on knowledge and information. Don't give in to your feelings. Emotions are the saboteurs of destiny. Beat your feelings into captivity through mental discipline. Discipline says, I may not like what I have to do today or feel like doing it, but I know what must be done and why I have to do it. Discipline is the domain of the head. The new car that you can't afford right now but feel would make you happy will wait if you have financial discipline. Discipline gets you to the gym to work out when your feelings say stay in because it's cold and rainy today. Discipline says skip the second helping, stay on the job even though your boss made you mad enough to quit. Tell your child no even though she'll pout, moan, and whine for a week. Stay in school even though you feel like an eternal student. Feelings tell you to get your hair and nails done because you're a little depressed. Discipline tells you to budget in getting your hair and nails done because you need to make a good impression at your upcoming job interview. Discipline makes decisions that take you toward destiny. I've looked back on decisions I made and asked myself, what was I thinking? Our thinking can be flawed, skewed, or based on erroneous information. Right information and disciplined thinking leads to right decisions. But nobody can be spot on in their decisions every time. Like me, you will still make some mistakes, but the likelihood of mistakes is far greater if your life is based on feelings rather than head choices. When you do make mistakes, keep a level head, reassess, and move in the direction of destiny. Above all else, guard what goes on in your head. Protect that space between your ears with all you've got. A soldier about to go into battle, a police officer about to make a raid, a football player headed for a playing field, they will all protect their heads with the proper gear. Protect your head so that your journey to destiny is guided by knowledge rather than feelings. Protect your head to keep negativity out. When people doubt your abilities, when you have an attack of low self-esteem, or when you experience a setback, don't fall into a dark place from which you cannot easily emerge. Preserve your positive thoughts. Keep your thoughts in a good place. Protect the positive person inside you who is telling you that you have what it takes. Watch your self-talk. Tell yourself you will make it, no matter what happens, no matter what anyone else thinks. After Elvis Presley's very first performance, his manager told him, "You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck." It's a good thing that King protected his head and didn't listen. His records have sold more than 1 billion copies. Protecting your head is important because discouraging advice will come from the sage experts. And if you're filling your own head with negative information, you can cancel out the helpful efforts of mentors, sponsors, and advisors. If 500 people tell you that you have what it takes, all you have to do to cancel out all of their positive energy is look in the mirror and say, "No, I don't." Protect your head against others, but also against yourself. God's opinion is the only one you need. If God says you can, that's all that matters. Listen to what God tells you, then watch what you say to yourself. Don't tear yourself down. Don't beat yourself up. You cannot arrive at destiny if you tell yourself that you're not good enough, not smart enough, not qualified, not attractive. Don't work against God by tearing yourself down. Reaching destiny requires you to monitor how you talk to yourself. Next to the voice of God, your own is the most important one you will hear. You are with you all the time, so guard how you talk to yourself. You can avoid negative people, but you can never get away from yourself. You can't escape yourself. If you're tearing yourself down, change your thoughts from negative to positive and from destructive to uplifting. Build yourself up by speaking self-empowering words. Ward off iffy talk, I wonder, or what if. This is nothing more than negative speculation. Guard your head against speculation about your destiny. You can't have what you are striving for in your hand until you have it in your head. Get it in your head, not in your feelings, that you can and will achieve your goals. Whatever you want, get it in your head. I vividly remember a conversation I had with my sister back in West Virginia. When my wife and I had been through repeated financial challenges, I was tired of being broke. Riding in the car with my sister, I told her, I'm not going to be broke anymore. That may have sounded foolish at the time, but I certainly have gotten to where I'm no longer broke. The change didn't come overnight, but making that decision in my head set the wheels in motion for the financial situation to change for me and my family. Get in your zone. When you're focused on your own path, your mind is open to new ideas and revelations. Your limitless potential can be shaped by destiny's unfettered hand. Those who avoid the lure of creativity are residents of the comfort zone. Those who lack safety inhabit the comfort zone. The comfort zone is the land of the status quo, whose language is, we've never done it that way before. Those words stop progress, stifle creativity, and halt innovation. Life in the comfort zone requires no challenge, no guts, and no determination. Everyone who lives in the comfort zone is expected to speak like others speak, do what others do, not do what others don't do. They choke creativity to what they can understand. The comfort zone looks easygoing, but it's tense and controlling. Residents of the comfort zone demand total allegiance. You can't live among them and dare to be different. You can't zip in the comfort zone, then out of it when you get a burst of creativity. You'll be punished for trying to live among them while they perceive you are simultaneously betraying them with your new ideas and originality. Clusters of comfort zoners reside in every strata of life, from the deepest recesses of the inner city to the sprawling manicured lawns of suburbia, at church and school, at your workplace and professional organizations. They're in your neighborhood, family, sorority, fraternity, and country clubs. They're among the boys in the hood and the billionaire boys club. Young African Americans in urban areas across our country are often pressured to stay in the comfort zone of a limited existence of poverty and ignorance. They are susceptible to peer and even intra-family pressure to not read books, speak standard English, make good grades, or pursue a life that doesn't include prison or unwed early pregnancy. The comfort zone of their world says historical racism and exclusion has shown us that you can't get ahead, so don't start acting like you have hope to make a better life for yourself. Beyond that comfort zone is a world of opportunity, destiny for those willing to break out of their comfort zone. Comfort zones don't have a favorite neighborhood. In the most prosperous neighborhoods, just as in the ghetto, people are confined, marry only a certain type, enroll children only in a certain school, drive certain cars, shop in particular stores, maintain accepted political affiliations, and join specific types of organizations. Dare to think or behave differently, and soon you must move on, an outcast from the comfort zone. The people who live there fear the non-compliant among them, fear creativity because out of its boundless abundance comes visions and imaginings that cannot be contained or controlled. Destiny seekers live in the creative zone without limits or boundaries. Their energies are stirred by the creative process. Creative zoners thrive on new ideas and designs. They await new expressions of imagination to energize and enliven them. Like comfort zone dwellers, creative zoners come from every walk of life, socioeconomic group, race, gender, and educational level. Arthur Fry, inventor of the Post-it note, had a successful career as an inventor and scientist, but he didn't dwell in the comfort zone of middle-aged, middle-class American males. His most popular invention spawned an entire industry that continues to evolve from its origins in 1975. Damon John, creator of the immensely successful FUBU line of urban apparel, rose from poverty to purpose by delving into his creative zone. He gives this advice to creative thinkers: if nobody else likes it, it might be a hit. Since comfort zoners like sameness, if they find your ideas distasteful, that may be your green light to keep moving forward. Jump fully into the creative zone and you will find fulfillment and purpose that you cannot imagine as a comfort zone dweller. If you've been banned from the comfort zone of your friend's job or neighborhood, say goodbye and good riddance. Have the courage to walk away from them, even if they scare you with warnings of dire consequences or potential pitfalls of taking risk and doing something different. While destiny calls you, friends, loved ones, and coworkers in the comfort zone will tell you to be afraid to go back to school, to fear quitting your job, to start a business, or that you aren't creative enough to write music or plays or books. Take on the challenge of seeing who you can become. Ignore the deceptive lure of the comfort zone. If destiny is calling you, you can never be satisfied with sameness and mediocrity. And if you're afraid to leave what you already know, think about this. If you have the courage to walk away from the familiar to pursue destiny and it doesn't work out for you, you can always go back to that old place. Those same people you left will still be there when you get back. You get to choose where you will dwell, comfort zone or creative zone. If you are brave enough to ignore the distractions, you will feel as if you have arrived home when you get to the creative zone. That is your destiny. Your ideas will be embraced and celebrated. An annual television concert called Divas Live featured some of the greatest vocalists of our day. Celine Dion, Gloria Estefan, Aretha Franklin, Shania Twain, Whitney Houston, Brandy, Cher, Tina Turner, and Mariah Carey in session together. The divas were inspired by one another's vocal range and ability. That's how creative zones work. As you find your way out of the safety of sameness, you will link up with creative comrades who make you better as you make them better. Finding your creative zone doesn't mean you sing or paint or sculpt or write or display any talents customarily defined as creative. The creative zone is simply the place where your uncharted journey to destiny is free to explore all roads. Whatever your revealed purpose, you will be energized by opening your mind to ideas and closing the narrow mental corridors of convention and sameness. Chapter 15. Hear Destiny's Voice. Step aside to listen for Destiny's authentic call. I went to visit one of our church members who was incarcerated at a maximum security facility for prisoners with emotional and mental dysfunction, schizophrenia, bipolar disorders, etc. As I passed through the corridors, one inmate introduced himself to me as God. Others said they heard voices telling them to harm someone or to commit some terrible act. After the visit, I talked with my member's doctor, and when she spoke about patients who hear voices, I told her, actually, there's really not much difference between what you do and what I do. We both deal with people who have problems and hear voices. We all hear voices that can have an impact on our destiny decisions. Voices that tell us, you're not good enough. You're wasting your time. They'll never choose you. Or you're not going to get the job, so just skip the interview. Voices remind you of your past so that you continue to live in shame and fear of being exposed, a dangerous form of bondage that will cause you to let destiny opportunities pass you by. Sometimes the voices are old friends, alter egos, for example, the voice that tells you to give the boss a piece of your mind while you're standing in his face smiling. A voice tells you to quit when a situation gets too hard, to walk away from a spouse of 30 years, or to do something that goes against your values because no one will ever find out. You meet a man or a woman for the first time, and a voice says, "That's the one." We all hear voices. We have to decide which voices we will heed. Every day you choose which voices you will listen to. The voices that you pay attention to are the ones that will manifest in your life. If you turn your heart and your head toward destiny, train your mind to hear positive, affirming voices that offer wisdom. Monitoring the voices you follow is critical. The internal voices you hear have to be brought under control because you carry those with you 24 hours a day. There is no escape from them. Those voices are with you while you're being interviewed for that dream job of a lifetime. Those voices speak while you're on a date with the person you hope may be the one you'll marry. You hear them when you look at yourself in the mirror, and again when you look at someone else and compare yourself to them. When you look at your bank balance, you hear a voice. When you look at someone who seems to have it all, you hear voices. Voices that say you're not enough can derail your destiny. But when you recognize that you have the power to change those voices, you can become unstoppable. Internal streams of critical commentary can be empowering or damaging, but so can the voices of the people around you. External voices have the power to shape how you feel, what you do, everything about you, from your wardrobe to your career choice or the spouse you pick. Friends, loved ones, and even enemies influence us, but that doesn't mean their comments are relevant to your destiny. When my oldest sons, twins, Jamar and Jermaine, were younger, they told me how to put on a baseball cap. "No, Daddy, you can't wear the cap like that. That's not how they're wearing them anymore." So I curved the bill of the cap like they showed me and put it on my head, appropriately dressed to be seen in public. Years later, when my youngest son, Dexter, looked at my curved baseball cap, he said, "No, Daddy, you can't go out with me looking like that. The cap needs to be worn low and the brim needs to be straight." Twice I was influenced to change how I wear something as inconsequential as a hat by people who care about me. We are swayed by other people's opinions about way more important life decisions. We've all made choices based on someone else's opinions whose voice mattered to us. It's good to seek the advice and wise counsel of people you trust, but you can be so influenced by other voices that you might never reach your destiny. If you're listening to those who say you should be a Harvard professor, although you're a kindergarten teacher, and that is your destiny, you will not find satisfaction with your destiny until you close your ears to them. You can't tell everybody. One of the saddest realities we must face about life is that everybody is not going to be happy when we prosper. People haters can't stand your dreaming of a better life, despise your happiness, turn their nose up at you because you take extra care in your speech and appearance. They get angry when you find a better job or a new love. They stop speaking to you when you give up negative behavior. The more your dreams evolve into reality, the closer you get to destiny, the greater target you become for the negative opinion of others. People who don't even know you may form impressions about who they think you are and what you do. They will critique whether you're qualified, intelligent, attractive, competent, sophisticated, or savvy enough for whatever you're doing. They'll always conclude that you're not enough and you have no business going after destiny. You can't please a hater. Haters are such an integral part of your journey forward that you can almost categorize them. Some say they can do whatever you've done better. Others minimize your accomplishments. There are critics of your desire to succeed who accuse you of being self-serving, dishonest, or immoral. And let's not forget those who throw up your past to discredit you or disqualify you, reminding anyone who will listen of what you did 20 years ago. But perhaps the most pain is inflicted by the haters who smile at you as they plot your demise. The vitriol of all these haters is nothing compared to the betrayal of one you loved and trusted and who claimed to care about you. Be strong enough to stand up again, even after haters make you drop to your knees. All of that negative drama is enough to make you say to destiny, "Never mind." But don't you dare satisfy your haters by quitting. Make yourself happy by fulfilling your dreams. There's no other path to success. The road that gives you fulfillment, purpose, and joy as it takes you to destiny is always peppered with jealous, envious, and angry people whose venomous darts are aimed squarely in your direction as you travel. The hurt may make you stumble, but don't stop and waste time on revenge or retaliation or even reply. Because the old saying is true, success is the best revenge. A well-known comedian put it this way, it's a hater's job to hate, it's what they do. That's true, but haters are also judgers and gossipers. Be sure to examine yourself so you don't begin doing what haters do. Avoid comparing yourself with others, saying you can do better than what they can do, putting down their accomplishments, criticizing their desire to succeed, calling out self-serving, dishonest, or immoral behavior, or bringing up their past. Gossip is hater activity. So is listening to gossip, which you can cut short by interrupting the gossiper with, "I don't need to know," and steering the conversation to another subject. Seek your destiny, and do not worry about others. Only God knows the full story of everyone's destiny. You don't, so you're not equipped to judge. If you find yourself rooting against anyone's success, I encourage you to focus on yourself, what you do best, and march to your own destiny. Do not let yourself become a hater. Before you get to a place that is calling you, recognize to whom you can talk to about your destiny and to whom you cannot. Dream killers will question your ability, your preparation, and even your worthiness to live your dreams. Their negative voices are always more than eager to offer an opinion. Often such disparaging commentary comes from those who have accomplished very little. They don't want you to either. Are you lagging behind in fulfilling your destiny because you're listening to negative voices? Learn to be selective about to whom you share your dreams with. Some can't handle it. People with low aims can actually cause you to feel guilty or foolish for daring to have a dream. It's hard to dare for destiny when everyone around you sees drug dealing and prison as the predestined fate and a blue-collar union job is their dream ceiling. It's tough to be open about your destiny as a medical missionary when all your classmates are bragging about being recruited by top hospitals. It's scary to confess that your destiny is to marry the man you love and to be a stay-at-home mother when your girlfriends talk about a woman's need to make her own money. Nothing is wrong with what they want. Nothing is wrong with what you want. That you dare to have different dreams can scare people, especially those in the comfort zone. When you encounter such reactions, make a mental note to protect your dream from such persons and understand the reason for their fright, anger, or intimidation has nothing to do with you or what you are destined to do. Rather than sharing your dreams with people who can't understand or don't matter, spend time talking with yourself about what destiny holds for your future. Hear your own voice. Affirm your vision. See yourself as prosperous before you get the money in the bank. No, don't buy things you can't afford. Relate to money as if you were rich. The wealthy, especially those who earned their money and were not born into it, tend to respect money and are good stewards of their resources. They are not often foolish with money. A firm financial prosperity deep within you, so you are already that rich person when you reach your financial destiny. If you're not living your destiny as you journey, you won't be able to live it after you reach your destination. Destiny is not only a destination, a goal, a dream, a purpose. It is an inner process of becoming all you were meant to be. You are educated before you get the degree. Couples are married long before they reach the altar. You are the supervisor before you get the title. If you're not supervisor material, you still won't be one even after you get the job. If you're not good husband or wife material, you still won't be one even after you say, I do. Your mind is already where you were called to be while you await the actual fulfillment. As you strive for destiny, your vision may function at a higher level than your opportunity, which can create frustration. On the inside, you can feel what is calling to you, yet nothing on the outside and no one validates your feeling. Hold your destiny close to your heart. Keep listening to your own voice. Hold on to your revelation. Avoid sharing your calling. Everyone is not worthy of knowing your inner voices. Don't give the haters an opening to tear you down. An opinion is just that. People who knew me during my younger years would not have chosen me to do what God has positioned me to do. Back in West Virginia, when I was working in a chemical plant and preaching when opportunities arose, I would not have been the number one pick to have a 30,000-member international ministry. Most would have expected me to take over my father's custodial service business. At every turn of my life, people speculated how I would end up, what I would be or do, and most of the time, they were wrong. That's why opinions don't matter. Often God chooses the least likely to get the promotion, grant, spouse, or prize. Right now, somebody doesn't think you're qualified to do what you're doing or have what you have. They don't think you're smart enough, wealthy enough, sexy enough, skinny enough, or friendly enough. A mother who doesn't think you're good enough to marry her son. A socialite who thinks you have no business coming to her gated community. Or a doorman building. A business mogul who thinks your entrepreneurial ideas belong in the toilet. Their opinion is nothing more than their interpretation of you. They do not understand or know you, and they are not privy to your destiny. Allow yourself to listen to those voices, and you'll spend a lifetime defending yourself and your actions. If they get wind of your destiny vision, they are likely to say, "You of all people will never make it happen." That's their opinion. Ignore them. Your future depends solely on what God has created you to do. I'm so glad I didn't pay attention to what other people might have said about my life and my chances for success. Avoid the deceptive lure of popularity. Opinions can be positive, too. It's wonderful to know that people are helped or pleased as you fulfill your destiny. Others can cheer you to great heights of adoration. But nobody can afford to get caught up in the high opinions of others. People will love you but can quickly turn against you. When you're positioned toward destiny, don't get caught in the false lure of popularity. Develop a thick skin even when you're popular and don't believe your own resume. If you do, it can later be painful to hear the voices of cruel, non-constructive criticism. You cannot have it both ways. You can't choose to hear only the voices of those who adore you and shut down the voices of those who don't. As you make your way to destiny, you will learn much more from those who criticize you than those who adore you. I learned much about who I was from my haters when I came under a fire of criticism. The first time I had the experience, I couldn't even defend myself because I was shocked that people even cared enough about me to write about me, whether negative or positive. I had no idea I was important enough to be hated on that level. My haters taught me my own significance. Your destiny doesn't depend on the opinion of haters or applauders either. They're all making judgments about your future based on your right now, and that's not a complete picture. Only God sees the big picture. Don't listen to people who have nothing to lose. James A. Baldwin said, "The most dangerous creation of any society is the man who has nothing to lose. Those who have nothing to lose don't care about their own success, so they certainly don't care about yours." It's disheartening to note the number of accomplished athletes, actors, and other famous people who have met with failure because they took the advice of someone who had nothing to lose. Star college running back Maurice Claret had great potential when a major NFL team drafted him. The young man had talent but was known for exhibiting bad behavior. Eventually, his poor choices led to an armed robbery conviction and a prison sentence. After he served his sentence, a sports reporter interviewed him about his experience and asked how many of the people he once associated with visited during his more than 3 years in prison. "None of them," he responded. "They took their behavior to the next person and wherever the next party was going on." But apparently the young man engaged in some introspection during his incarceration. He began to understand why some professional athletes have a difficult time putting distance between themselves and those they knew, including family members. Before landing 6- or 7-figure rookie contracts, he observed, "You may feel guilty or feel they should enjoy this time with you because they've been around you. The truth is, they've been around, but they have not put in the same amount of work as you." Survivor's guilt can affect those who successfully escape a life of poverty or dysfunction. Guilty for having worked their way out of those circumstances, they are tempted to bring along others they knew before who did none of the hard work, who are only interested in the perks of success, or who cannot leave inappropriate behavior behind. The successful are often accused of forgetting where they came from. They feel guilty and try to maintain friendships with people who are not going anywhere. Destiny does not require you to continue to surround yourself with people from a life you worked hard to escape. A working but poor man grew tired of being trapped by the limited circumstances of his life. He took inventory of his friends and noted that one of them, who wasn't particularly smart or gifted, had amassed wealth. He asked his friend how he accrued his fortune. The wealthy friend's response was, "Keep the right company." He observed that all of his other friends hated hard work and had no desire to improve themselves. He decided to make new friends by attending conventions and seminars to connect with successful people. After he had completely replaced his network of friends, he made a list with 2 columns, those who would improve his life by association and those who would drag him down. Then he made 2 decisions. He would spend as much time as possible with the people who would improve his life. He would never spend more than 5 minutes around the people who could drag him down. After 3 years, the man was a millionaire. Your associations don't have to be with the wealthy, powerful, or famous, but be intentional about associating with those determined to live a life of purpose. Of the persons you regularly spend time with, ask, does the person devote his or her time to helping humanity or tearing down humanity? After giving yourself truthful answers, decide whether each relationship is beneficial to you in reaching your destiny. Hear the still small voice of destiny. A man who owned an ice house lost a valuable watch amid all the sawdust inside. He made a thorough search of the building, carefully raking through the sawdust, but didn't find it. His workers looked also, but no one was able to find it. When the noon whistle blew, all the workers vacated the building to eat. While they were away, a boy who had heard about their unsuccessful search slipped into the ice house. He soon found the watch, amazed the owners, asked him how he found it. "It was simple," he explained. "I closed the door and lay down quietly in the sawdust. I just kept very still, and soon I heard the watch ticking. I followed the sound until I found it. Have you heard the sound of destiny calling out to you? Or did you think you had been passed over? The beauty of destiny is that there is a task for everyone. You are not forgotten or left out. Maybe you just have to get quiet and follow the sound of destiny. Life moves quickly, and most of the time noisily, too. The average person is processing a barrage of messages at any given moment during the day. You get up in the morning thinking about everything you have to do that day. Those thoughts race through your mind as you get dressed. You navigate daily rush hour traffic while you listen to your favorite morning disc jockey or music CD. At the office, you hear voices throughout the workday, and as the day comes to a close, you begin thinking about your evening. And amid all of these messages, your mind is speaking to you about your kids, your 401k, your mortgage, or your workout routine. How can you possibly hear the pull of your destiny? Sometimes destiny speaks quietly in subtle opportunities at the hands of those we least suspect. The ordinary looking fellow you stand behind in the movie line may be the corporate executive who can hire or mentor you. Showing up at an event that is not a part of your usual social circle may introduce you to the people who will help usher you to another place along your destiny journey. Destiny is a powerful draw, but will not overwhelm you with shouting. The quiet voice of your future tugs at you when you are in touch with the truth that you have a future and a purpose. That voice can guide you. Connect with destiny's unobtrusive voice and listen. Get quiet and still, like the boy who found the watch when no one else could. If you've never practiced getting still, discover the benefits of finding your quiet place. Develop a regular practice of stillness so that you can be attuned to destiny speaking to you. Get to a quiet place through prayer, meditation, or reflection. Use your quiet time to envision the life you desire. In that time of stillness, reflect on events and conversations that may be opportunities to move to another level. Think about how you are growing and emerging in preparation of what God has in store for you. You hear the sounds all day long, each and every day, but destiny's voice requires that you listen. You will find the message that destiny has reserved just for you as you move beyond the physical act of taking in auditory stimuli to comprehending and responding to the message found within the sounds you hear. Shh. Did you hear that? Destiny is speaking to you now. Chapter 16, Exposed to Destiny. Step boldly into life's adventures. The key to completing your journey to destiny is to resist the urge to retreat into the familiar spaces of the past. In a new space, yesterday can look pretty good because it's familiar. But could you go back to yesterday, it would not be as warm, wonderful, and inviting as you think. You remember the comfort and the security of the good old days, but if you went back to the home where you grew up, you'd probably find the rooms barely big enough to move around in, no kids playing kickball in the streets like you and your friends used to, and the nearby grocery store lacking your favorite brand of organic coffee. During an attack of loneliness, you want to go back to your old boyfriend, but remember, he's threatened by people who have more education than him. He brags about himself ad nauseam, and his mother controls every aspect of his life. Frustration with the feast or famine existence